Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. TD Teron Davenport will join us in 1 hour. The Titans hit the field for OTAs tomorrow. We'll see the rookies and the vets on the field, so we will get all of TD's thoughts and predictions for OTAs tomorrow. But Willie, have you heard the term, if it's a little bit too good to be true, then it probably is.
Probably is not.
Not true. Exactly. And that's kind of how I feel about the Big Ten TV deal. Because let's, you know, rewind to July, August, summertime of last year. And the Big Ten inked a massive, massive television deal for their upcoming rights from 2023 through the 2029-2030 season, so the next 7 or so years, that Fox, CBS, and NBC would all own rights to some of the Big Ten games, and then enter USC and UCLA, and that deal was going to be renegotiated. Now I believe it's what's worth, you know, north of $8 billion over that 7-year period. But in a most recent article on ESPN.com put out by Pete Thamel, it's a great article, highly recommend the read. It's really
speaking of soap operas, like we just talked about our last soap opera in Toronto. This is another soap opera going on in the Big Ten.
A total meltdown that it really sounded a little bit too good to be true, and it just might be. Because in some recent findings that Pete Thamel put out in this article on ESPN.com, one, a whole lot of athletic directors are very disgruntled with the deal. A whole lot of coaches aren't very pleased with the deal. And that the money being put forth to individual Big Ten teams isn't exactly what it's laid out to be. Because a lot of the poor negotiations by Kevin Warren, the former Big Ten commissioner, who of course now took a job to be the president of the Chicago Bears, and once the new Big Ten commissioner, Pete Petiti, came in, you realize a lot of the loose ends had not been tied up by Kevin Warren. And also keep in mind, this deal goes into effect in July. So we're 2 months away from this deal officially, you know, coming to fruition. So number one, each Big Ten school, or the Big Ten as a whole, has to pay back $40 million to Fox because the Big Ten title game in 2026 was signed over to NBC in these negotiations with Fox, NBC, and CBS. But actually, Fox owned the right to those games. So now the Big Ten's going to have to pay back that $40 million that Fox is going to lose by not having the title game in 2026. And actually, Kevin Warren, the former Big Ten commissioner, gave away a lot of the rights to Big Ten games to Fox, CBS, and NBC that they didn't even own in the first place. Because in the fine print of the Big Ten Network's negotiations with the Big Ten, which it's undisclosed when that really goes through, but it's at least through 2030, at least through the entirety of the longevity of the Big Ten's contract with Fox, NBC, and CBS. So the Big Ten Network technically owns the rights to all of these Big Ten games. But Fox and the Big Ten have basically worked out a deal where Fox almost leases these games from the Big Ten so they can have the rights to show these games on Fox. So now that's something that CBS and NBC are going to have to work out, since the Big Ten technically doesn't even own its own product. Also, the Big Ten is going to have to pay back $25 million for the 2020 game inventory that Fox lost. So that was kind of a bad negotiation deal, again, by Kevin Warren, the former Big Ten commissioner.
It's kind of like when you win the game show on The Price is Right, and then you realize the taxes and everything on the prizes you won. It's like, wait a minute, I thought I won all this stuff, and
it's
not as much as
I
thought, and I
got to
pay this and what? Wait a minute. Like, I got to believe, this is complicated, right? These are corporations,
yes.
Big money,
contracts,
CEOs,
legal jargon
going through, and I would have to imagine there's probably a lot of members of this, you know, in the Big Ten, either an athletic director, a president, a coach, hearing all this. Hey, Kevin Warren, our Big Ten commish, he's got this big deal going. How much money we're getting? We're getting billions of dollars. This is great. We're going to be on NBC. This is great. And they weren't really paying that much attention to the details.
Right.
Kevin Warren leaves the conquering hero. Guys, I got to this big deal. I'm out of here. We got a deal? All right, we got it. I'm out of here. I'm going to the Bears.
You guys have fun figuring out everything that I forgot to figure out.
Exactly. And so he kind of left some things that were not etched in stone, got to cross the T's, dot the I's. And it is, it's ironic, right? Because Kevin Warren was under the microscope. Yeah. When they decided originally during the pandemic not to play, how much heat he took.
Yeah.
They kind of took their season off the table early. And then come to find out everybody else who kind of waited it out, decided to play. And they had egg on their face a little bit. Then they were like, well, we got to play. You know, so Warren survived that. And then he kind of leaves on a high note, just like George Costanza in Seinfeld, right? Always leave on a high note. But now he leaves and they're like, wait a minute. This new guy has got kind of a mess to clean up.
Right.
So in that effort to sort of stay up with the SEC, be right there as a power conference, I'm sure this deal influenced UCLA and USC to come over
Absolutely.
To the Big Ten. Like,
Money
wow,
talks.
This is where we want to be. And now you've got this. I feel like they could work it out. But it's an amazing process. It's kind of like, this is why I'm kind of glad I'm not at the top of these huge Dollar Tree, like these unbelievable entities mm-hmm. that are all have to work together to make it work. There's a lot of details in this. And so you got some powerful people going, wait a minute, I didn't know this was going on. Wait, we're not getting our money? Like, what's going to happen here?
And it's especially difficult for Tony Petitti, the new Big Ten commissioner.
Imagine being this guy.
Because now he has to clean up a lot of the damages that he didn't even do. And he's going back through all of this and saying, okay, well, now we've given the rights to our championship game 3 years from now to two different networks. Can't do that. And now we have unhappy coaches that half of the Big Ten is saying, well, you know, we weren't aware that November night games weren't negotiated in our new contracts, which now I didn't even know this. Night games in November aren't played in the Big Ten. I don't know if it's a weather thing or whatever it is, but Michigan, Penn State, right. Ohio State, all of their athletic directors were really pushing hard for these night games in November, those primetime games.
If you think about it, Ohio State, Michigan, the biggest game on the calendar
most
years.
They played at 11 a.m.
Almost always, right? It's almost always either at 11 or I guess at the latest, maybe in the past it's been 2:30,
maybe
going
so.
Back a few years, but it's never been at night.
Never.
Right? Never.
Which is, it feels almost, you know, sacrilegious.
But it's going to be now under this new thing. And like Ryan Day was the first to say, like, I didn't know we were doing this. I didn't know we agreed to this.
And part of me thinks, is that on Ryan Day? Like, is Ryan Day just now finding out that the night games in November are going to be played?
That was a criticism by sort of an unnamed source in this article was the fault here is that administrators, coaches, athletic directors, presidents, chancellors, the people that should have been paying attention to a deal this big, they were really not worried about it. They were just kind of like, look, I don't spare me the details. Just tell me how much money we're getting.
Yeah.
Right. I think coaches like to play that sometimes. Like, the coaches got plenty on their plate. Do they really want to be in the negotiations of a deal like that? I wouldn't. If I were the coach, I want to look at my team. What's practice like the next day? Who's my recruiting coordinator, you know, all of these things, right? They've got plenty of administrative things. But then they love to complain when they're like, wait, I wasn't in on the conversations here.
Like, I didn't ask for this. I didn't want this.
And so it's like, you gotta, if you want to be in there, you got to sort of push your way in there. But that's something, do you really want to do that? I personally would not.
And Tom Izzo is quoted in this article and says, you know, we coaches are usually the last to know everything. And I do think
But they want it that way sometimes.
There's maybe a good bit of truth to that. But if I'm a college football coach and I'm on the recruiting trail and I'm, you know, scheduling fall camps, I don't want to worry about what time I am playing Michigan in November. But Nate texts into the text line and says, this sounds very confusing. It is very confusing.
It's very confusing.
And it's a whole lot of legal jargon and it's a whole lot of money and dollars and cents. But essentially, overall, this Big Ten $7 billion television deal, it's going to cause Big Ten member schools to pay money back to Fox because of promises that couldn't be followed through by Kevin Warren, the former commissioner. And that there are a whole lot of fine print details in this contract that have not been signed off on, that have not been agreed upon. And it goes into effect in 2 months. So T's and P's to the Big Ten. But I do wonder what kind of repercussions does this have for the Big Ten, maybe for the larger picture of conference realignment? Does this maybe put a red flag up for every other conference who's scrambling to get a better TV deal, to, you know, find a more stable conference? Is this maybe slowing everything down just a little bit? We'll get into that coming up next, and of course your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline Willie DeMays TD in 45 minutes. 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025-1063 The Game in the Game Nashville app. And hey, The Game has your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Dave Matthews Band at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, May 26th, courtesy of Green Trees Company Dispensary, providing high-quality legal THC products. So here is how you win. Just text in the keyword DAVE, D-A-V-E, now to the Game text line at 615-737-1025 to enter to win. Do not call. Text the word DAVE, D-A-V-E. Good luck with that. Dave Matthews is one of my favorites. We're breaking down some of the not-so-great sides of the Big Ten TV contract. Last summer, the Big Ten inked a massive deal with Fox and CBS and NBC for the rights to the Big Ten games from the 2023 seasons through 2030. And now it just is a big old mess. I mean, the Big Ten has to pay back around $65 million to Fox for, you know, inventory issues for the 2020 COVID season, for, you know, the former Big Ten commissioner Kevin Warren promising the conference championship game to NBC when Fox actually owned those rights. Athletic directors are disgruntled. Coaches are disgruntled around the Big Ten. So what we've believed for almost a year now to be just a monstrous deal and a very successful deal and a great deal for the Big Ten, once you start to peel back the layers a little bit, you start to see maybe it's not as great as originally promised. But it makes me think, just how bad is it? Does this deal have any, you know, capacity to fall through? Are we going to find the Big Ten being essentially the games being homeless because these deals are falling through? Will we see the rest of the college football world kind of be on red alert with conference realignment? And it feels like it's almost a race to getting the biggest TV deal, to finding the best conference, to, you know, becoming the biggest conference that there is. Is this going to slow all of this down, or is this just simply a minor hiccup that the deal needs to get worked through before you really start to cash in on it?
I don't think I would say it's a minor hiccup. I think there's some work they've got to do, but it's almost like it's too big to fail. Like, they're too far down the road right. for it not to happen. Like, everybody's going to want this to happen. So they will figure it out. It's just a matter of how much money is going to have to change hands, I think, and how quickly they can agree upon it. So I think that'll be all right. One of the things that caught my attention, though, is going forward with this, with the NBC part of it and some of the others, is games that will be only available on the stream,
yeah.
right? That's, again, it's just the bane of our existence as sports fans here. It's like, wait a minute, I'm still plugged in. I plugged in so I can get all these games and not have to worry about picking up this streaming service or that streaming service. But this is going to be a part of it going forward here, I think.
And
a lot of coaches were sitting there going, wait a minute, our games aren't going to, all of our games aren't on TV. I've been telling recruits for years, all of our games are on TV. They're on the Big Ten Network, you know, or almost all of them.
Wherever you come from, your parents are going to be able to watch you on their TV.
And
scouts are going to be able to watch you on TV.
But now, only if you have streaming X, Y, and Z, right? So there might be another step to that, and that's kind of a pain.
It's a total pain.
it's a pain for the fans, too, right?
And I do think that there is, in no matter what sports it is, whatever league it is, there you're going to have your small population of diehard fans that are going to watch the games no matter where it is and no matter how much it costs. If you have to have a cable package and you have to subscribe to Peacock and you have to subscribe to Paramount Plus and you have to have an Amazon account, you have to have all of these different accounts and subscriptions, there are going to be people that do it no matter what. But I think the majority of the population is people that say, oh, you know, Michigan State Purdue is on Apple TV Plus. Like, I'll live. I'm good. And that's just fewer eyes on your product. The streaming service side of sports is still very much so in its infancy. It's been around for a few years.
True.
We're still figuring things out. I do wonder at some point, 5, 10, 15 years down the road, are we going to look back and say, that just really wasn't very smart?
It's going to change, right?
That's another.
So that's going on for the Big Ten, the streaming part of it, the different entities, mm-hmm. how you get the games, how does the conference get their money, right? And how do the TV entities, how do they make their money? How do they get their rights fees back, right? It's subscriptions to these streaming services as part of it. There's a lot of talk about ESPN right now in terms of when are they going to make ESPN the channel available to the unplugged person,
right?
You know, to take it beyond what you get on ESPN Plus, but just get the whole shebang, right? That's another level. So that's going to change someday. But I think from the SEC's perspective, they have done a pretty good job over the years, going back to even before Greg Sankey took over, how they were patient. Like Big Ten Network was the first to go on, right? SEC was like, wait, let's see how it goes. Let's learn a few things. And then here comes the SEC Network.
Uber successful.
Right. So then, you know, I think they're pretty good at being patient, knowing what they've got, and then they make the great partnership. It's all with ESPN. They had the CBS thing. That's going away. But, you know, I think they've played their cards pretty well to where so far it hasn't been overly complicated for the SEC fan to be able to see their team's games, right? For the most part. Like,
yeah.
If you have the ESPN stuff, you get your SEC team in all the sports.
Pretty much every game you want to
see. So that would concern me if I'm the Big Ten is, wait a minute, am I confusing my people a little bit? Is this going to be simple enough for our fans to be able to get what they need to get?
And I think I'll go back to the same sentiment that I had when it was released that the NFL was going to have a playoff game on Peacock. I think that these networks are being blinded by the money and maybe not realizing that they're ostracizing some of their older viewers. That it's pretty confusing that no longer can you just turn on your TV and watch whatever game you want to watch. Or some weeks it's on Peacock, some weeks it's on Paramount Plus. Because let's not forget, the Big Ten is now dealing with not just three networks, but four networks of negotiations between the Big Ten Network, the NBC, Fox, and CBS. So that's difficult to keep track of. I even get confused about it sometimes.
Absolutely.
Okay, I have to go back and, you know, go to the Bally Sports app and click in this and click that or click the ESPN app. It's not the easiest thing to navigate or to do. But it is a reminder that college sports leagues, not just college, but leagues as a whole, they're going to do whatever it takes to make the most amount of money as possible. And that's not stopping or changing or slowing down anytime soon.
It is definitely not. And it means that eventually the fans are going to have to, like you said, number one, pay more attention. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be as easy to find the game. You're going to have to actually work to find the game some, which they're going to say, look, you'll have to deal with that, and probably pay more, right? Even if it means you got to be plugged in and unplugged. Or if you're unplugged, you really have to have an array of tools to get all the games. And you better have a good streaming service, or else in the middle, it's third and long, and the quarterback's back, and then whoops, you get the little pinwheel.
So many times that happened.
What's going on? It's paused.
On
you know?
The Amazon games on the NFL, and it was like a minute and a half behind. And I'm looking at Twitter
right.
Like, oh, when did they score? When did that happen? I missed it completely. And you know, the unfortunate reality of it all is the Big Ten does not care about the individual person trying to watch Ohio State football in their home in Cleveland. They just are not worried about it. It's the big money. It's trying to get in front of the trends. It's trying to be in front of the younger viewers' eyes because ultimately those are going to be the dollars that they hold on to 20, 30, 40, 50 years into the future. Is that right? No, personally,
yeah,
I don't
think
so.
And there's all these jokes you hear of like that age group is mooching off their parents' stuff anyway to get
that.
The game. you're raising
your hand. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for your cable login that I use to watch a lot of games. But it's true. It saves me some coin that way.
Yeah.
Because I'm paying for every single other streaming service under the sun.
Right, right.
But the Big Ten, it just seems like right now, it's going to get worked out. When you're talking about $7 or $8 billion on the line, it's going to get worked out. It's just a whole lot more of a rocky road to get there than we ever expected. And I don't blame the Big Ten coaches and ADs for just rolling their eyes almost audibly because they're so frustrated with everything going on. They don't want
to
deal with business.
Right. They don't want to have to, but they
football.
Have to play the game to get the money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
And speaking of ESPN, they're slacking a little bit. Let's be real. They're slacking a little bit, and we'll explain coming up next. Caroline Riley, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. TD will join us in 30 minutes. Jerron Davenport, Titans OTAs tomorrow. So we'll get all of TD's thoughts on what he's looking for at OTAs when the Titans hit the field tomorrow. But Willie, I think you and I are in agreeance of one thing. ESPN is a worldwide leader in sports. I used to work there. I loved it. I love ESPN. You know, we tune into their coverage every single day. It's on in front of us right now as we speak. But it has seemed very obvious that ESPN has its priorities in some places, and that's really it. And that's really where all the resources go. Like I was telling you, LSU baseball played Georgia this past weekend. I understand nobody in this market probably cares about that matchup, but I do.
So but it's about to take the spotlight, right? The SEC tournament is coming up. And as usual, the SEC has five, six teams that could win the whole thing.
And that's crazy. And that's just a testament to how competitive this league is in baseball. But I was just looking for a little bit of a Georgia scouting report. You know, starting pitcher on Friday, who their heaviest hitter is, what kind of streak they've been on. Just okay, a little bit of a refresher, what I need to know as my team plays this team this weekend. And ESPN essentially has nothing. And I know people who are beat writers for college baseball teams across the country. It's incredibly difficult for them to find advanced stats or, you know, stats going back 10, 15 years to write stories, to make comparisons. It's incredibly difficult for them to do their jobs because there is such a lack of attention to college baseball. And it, same thing with the NHL. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. They played a game six at 10 o'clock at night on a Sunday night. It seems like there is that ESPN is not placing any sort of resources. And I get it. I understand. The NHL and college baseball are not big ticket items. They're not necessarily, you know, bringing home the bank for ESPN. But if you're going to do it right. Don't half-ass it. And it feels like a lot of the coverage for some of the non-big sports, your footballs, college footballs, NBAs, are getting half-assed.
You know, this hour, I hope our listeners are interested in this the way you and I are, because this is the business we're in. But I agree. It has always puzzled me the way ESPN goes after. For example, they just made a big deal with the Pat McAfee show. Pat
Millions.
McAfee is, he's got his audience for sure. I personally, you know, I don't think I've ever listened to his whole show. Like he gets in the news, right? He's definitely a guy that, he's got connections. He's got, you know, strong news stories that have come out from things that go on in his show. And ESPN has paid millions of dollars to put him on there. It's well documented that they pay a lot of their, quote, personalities big, big money for their daily discussions, right? For sure. But what has happened a lot of times is when their game production, college baseball is one. I think college basketball to a degree. And I think the NHL coverage would be three good examples, things that I'm really interested in. I'm interested in all three of those things. Now, are they at the top of the priority list for ESPN? Definitely not, right? But if you are, quote, the worldwide leader in sports, there should be a standard of quality that you don't drop below that I didn't think they were for a long time. For example, you mentioned SEC baseball. For all the years that I can remember on the SEC Network, which is in the ESPN family, mm-hmm. and for big games that are on ESPN or ESPN2, the announcers absolutely will always be on site, other than the COVID stuff, right? We're out of COVID now. But what they've started to do is have games where they have announcers who are not there at the park. And, man, to me, that is noticeable. That takes away from the quality of the broadcast a lot. And I don't know I'd love to hear from some of our listeners that notice this. Or do you notice it, right? Or does this bother you at all? It bothers me, but maybe it's just because of this is what I do. I'm looking closer than some people. Maybe it doesn't bug you. As long as the game's on TV, you can see who's winning, whatever. To me, the quality is below the standard of an ESPN. It'd be one thing if it was just a streaming service of high school games or lower-level college games, no offense to them, but just games that people are glad to be able to have a camera there that they can see the game. We're talking about SEC games on ESPN2. Featured games, top teams in the country. The other thing I'm seeing, too, as a hockey person, and I would be curious, too, about our listeners here, I would think that you probably have more interest in hockey if you're listening to our station, because we talk a lot more hockey than other places in Nashville. But to me, it is night and day, the quality of the ESPN broadcast versus the quality of the TNT broadcast. In other words, TNT has been way better with the detail, the level of discussion, the effort being put into it. I just think it's kind of a guy, it's sort of thrown together on ESPN. I'll give you an example. The game between the Vegas Golden Knights and Dallas in game one. ESPN's got a window. They, if it works well, the game ends and they go into a very important WNBA game, right? It's Brittany Griner. She's making her debut. Return. It's a big game.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work out well for ESPN because the game goes into overtime. So I just think at that point they were like, let's just fill time for this intermission. And they didn't have, it didn't look like they had anything planned. It wasn't streamlined. And it was kind of like, okay, we got to tell people what's going on. And we're bumping the WNBA game to ESPN2. Mm-hmm. And just so from a hockey standpoint, it just doesn't look as clean to me and as detailed and as quality. The quality of the TNT has been, it's blown me away. It's been awesome. They had John Cooper on the other day from the Lightning. Henrik Lundqvist is turning into a superstar. The chemistry between the people, the broadcast quality of the game, they have the, I think they have the better group of announcers, honestly.
I think by far.
And I agree,
too.
And
it still comes together with Paul Bissonnette out of everybody. It still gets, I mean, he is pretty good, though. I really like watching him.
Oh, he's outstanding. He's outstanding. Does he, you know, walk the line a little bit? For sure. And if you listen to his podcast, he goes to another place, for sure. But it works. Like, I've always wondered if he'd get himself in some trouble here, but so far, he has been a major, major plus. ESPN has not had that same chemistry. I think as individuals, the PK Subbans, the Mark, obviously they have huge name draw, right? But the chemistry, the interaction between them isn't the same.
I think one
So this is, again, the ESPN, the level, the bar. Where would you set the bar? Like, that would bother me if I were up top at ESPN. I'd be like, man, we're getting... The fans are seeing this. We gotta catch up. We gotta compete better.
If you're gonna be the worldwide leader, then live up to it.
Yes.
And I'm not asking ESPN to make college baseball their number one priority. I'm not asking them to place priority of NHL of the NHL playoffs over the NBA playoffs, which is a partnership that has existed ESPN and the NBA forever. I'm not asking for that to be the number one thing that pops up on ESPN.com is LSU baseball. But what I do expect is, at least if you're going to do it well. And the SEC Network, for example, there's nothing going on, nothing else that's more important for the SEC Network or to the SEC Network than baseball season. It's the most competitive league in all of college baseball. That should be the number one priority for the SEC Network. And, of course, you've got recruiting and the transfer portal and college football things that are always going to be at the forefront of everybody's minds and attention spans. But for college sports, and especially the SEC, it is baseball. And you've got softball and other spring sports. But
and they do. I think they do an excellent job with the softball, by the way.
Do a great job covering softball. Yeah. Collegiate softball is actually very, very fun to
watch. Fun.
But it plays back into the idea of it's a bad look that you're paying Pat McAfee all of this money.
And laying a lot of people off, too. That's the other thing. They're cutting costs in a lot of ways,
yes,
including taking good people away. And at the top, you got these guys, all the personality. The priorities get taken care of, but the balance. That's what I love about ESPN. It's worldwide leader in everything. They've got everything in their umbrella. So keep that standard the way it needs to be.
And I always felt like the standard of ESPN always used to be that ESPN made stars. Now, with this Pat McAfee deal, it looks like ESPN will pay the stars just to come over and represent ESPN. Same thing with PK Subban. They paid him a very healthy, healthy paycheck to come over and do the hockey broadcasting. He was a pre-existing star that ESPN was willing to put the money forth to be part of their broadcasts. And it changes. Things have changed. The media landscape has changed leaps and bounds over the last few years. But the priorities of ESPN are very clear. And that's fine. But whenever people just moan and groan that their hockey team is being played on ESPN, you got nobody else to blame other than yourself. Because the TNT broadcast is really fun.
It is.
The basketball TNT crew was a blast. The hockey crew was a blast. Shout out to TNT.
Yep. ESPN. Let's go. Pick it up.
Pick it up.
Let's
pick
go.
Pick it up, pals. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's get into your thoughts on this. Your calls and your texts are lining up. I see them. We are right to those coming up next. Anything is on the table. Caroline Billy DeVace, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. This week's Nashville's best deal is Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park. So go to thegamenashville.com/deals for a buy one, get one free admission for just $44.99. Beach Bend Park is your ticket to summer fun. Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park, just a short drive to Bowling Green, Kentucky. And that will be nice as it gets hotter outside. Let's get some of your thoughts on this. Andy is on the line. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up, Andy?
Hey, good afternoon. As someone who's been in broadcasting for 30 years, I've seen this happen before when the bean counters get in charge of making too many decisions. They just look at the bottom line. They go, oh, well, we can hire anybody, any announcer who has some experience who's willing to work for $10,000, $20,000 less than the guy we already have. And when they don't have an actual experience in broadcasting, there's a lower quality that happens. And the second thing is, where's ESPN's competition? I mean, Valley Fox Sports is going through bankruptcy, and so there's a big question marks where that is. CNNSI doesn't exist anymore, so they have no competition. So when you have a monopoly, the quality can drop. And I unfortunately think this might get worse before it gets better. I mean, the premier things, college football, pro sports, you know, Sunday night football experience is going to be there. But, you know, unfortunately, I think anything that isn't seen as a A1 priority might suffer.
Yeah. Thanks for your call, Andy.
It's a really interesting. I would love more opinions, you know, what your observation is, whether you're like Andy and, you know, have a, you know, a taste of the broadcast world. That's his background, as he says. But if you're just a sports fan, what are you seeing? Are you noticing this? Like, one thing for sure. By the way, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, as always. Let's hear from you. But, you know, maybe we're just a little bit spoiled, too, where if you turn the clock back 20, 30 years, they didn't have nearly as many games available, right? It used to be just Dick Vitale and, you know, the two or three announcing teams that were doing all the games. There weren't nearly as many games on TV, right? So maybe that's what ESPN would push back. He said, well, do you want these games on or do you not want them on, right? But I feel like they were doing it right up until a point. Like, just take the announcers out of the booth. Like Andy says, it's an interesting thing, the quality of the announcer. Like, the more games that you have available, the deeper your announcing teams have to be, the more announcing teams you need physically. Like, when you see the NCAA baseball regionals start up next week, you'll hear some announcers that you don't normally hear for postseason games that are big, season on the line, because they simply need a ton of announcing teams to carry all the games. So to me, the least you could do is allow those guys to have a chance and be in the press box and not sitting in their living room, where you're not ever going to sound as good, especially for a baseball game. To me, that's the hardest one to do off-site.
It adds an extra element of, and that's the announcer's job, right? Is to make the people that are watching the games feel like they're there.
Yeah.
To feel like they're constantly being informed. So physically being there adds this extra element of, oh, look at this fan doing something funny in the stands, or look at, you know, Tim Corbin. His team scored 8 runs in the 8th inning, and he's doing a happy dance in the side of the dugout. Not something that you would be able to see from your couch at home when you're calling the games. And I am not naive. I know that college baseball is not its biggest moneymaker. And this is business, that you put money into the things that make you money. The NFL, college football, the NBA, maybe some bigger ticket items. I am not naive to that. But it's just little things. And I don't know how much that would cost to send somebody to Knoxville to cover a game. I can't imagine that it's the same amount of money that you're pushing toward Pat McAfee for his show. It's
right.
Just little things that make a big difference.
But I wonder if they're related, right? Because they do pay, to me, exorbitant amounts of dollars for these high-end personalities like McAfee and Stephen A. Smith. Like, I'm never going to begrudge anybody for being able to, like, if you get offered that, would you take it? I would.
Yes.
Right?
Who wouldn't?
All these millions of dollars. Like, I can't. They're doing the same thing we're doing. They're just getting 8 million or however many. But it seems like if that is what is taking away from the quality of the game broadcast, which to me, I watch ESPN to watch the games. My priority is not to hear what they're talking about the games. That's all nice and everything. But that's, right, to me, secondary. Of me, I want the games. I want to be able to watch the games. Maybe I'm different, though, than some people. Maybe the way it's changing, like I know kids, maybe they're not as apt to watch an entire game. They're fine watching the condensed game, the highlights, and to them, they watch the game, even though they didn't sit down there and watch the first half and then the second half. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's
totally.
It is kind of evolving that way. You can kind of say you watch the game and be aware of what happened if you've just followed it on Twitter,
read a box score.
Yeah.
And I think that...
And then watched the fallout and the people talking about it.
Right, and watched some highlights on SportsCenter the next day. But the way that I feel about college baseball, and ESPN might feel the same way, is you're going to care about your team no matter what, and it's going to take a whole lot for you to care about something else. Now, I'm going to watch my team. There's probably a small group of baseball fans that love college baseball that will watch the biggest games of the day. You know, big matchups throughout the week, maybe you'll turn those on. But really, for the most part, as far as college baseball is concerned, you care about your team. College football, you'll probably watch every game all day because you just love college football. So ESPN might view it and say, hey, we're going to get these viewers no matter what. It's going to take a whole lot for us to bring in new viewers. So why break the bank? Trying to go above and beyond on a broadcast that we already know we have our target market taken care of. I don't know if it's right. I don't know if that's wrong, but
that's the direction it's going.
That's the direction that it's going. Joel is on the line with a thought. What's up, Joel?
Hey, yes, I have a problem with all these streaming services. You remember when we used to have Parker's Fort? When I watched Memphis Grizzly or Nashville Predators? Or then we have Major League Soccer. Now I cannot even watch Nashville Predators when they were playing, or Nashville Soccer Club, because they went into a different channel. I have ESPN Plus. I added it to my package, and when they were playing, I saw them there on ESPN Plus. Then I click on it. It says it's not in my package, and then I change. Let's say Dallas Stars were playing. And that game was often, but when I need to watch my team, I cannot watch them. So, they were playing, I cannot have access, and I'm paying for ESPN Plus. Then I have Hulu. So all these streaming have become annoying. Why are we paying for other stuff when we cannot even watch it?
Yeah, that's
yeah, very fair points. Thanks
that's
for
another
your
big issue that's going on.
It is, and people are fed up with it. But
well, we have another text here saying the same thing in one sentence. I shouldn't have to work hard to watch a game I'm paying for, so I don't watch. Like, you are going to lose some people. Like the MLS, that's an interesting one that they did. They took all of their games off of, terrestrial TV or whatever you want to call it, right? You don't have the games like you had them last year. They're all on Apple TV, and that's sort of the direction it's going. And if you have Apple TV, great. But if you don't, it's like, okay, now you have to make the effort. So how many fans are going to do that? The diehards will, but how do you build your audience? So I can see the frustration. Look, I hear it firsthand all the time about the Predators games, of what he's talking about. If you don't have the certain streaming service, it's harder to get the games unless you get the direct app or you're plugged in, right? It's a little, there's more hurdles and things.
It's expensive.
Yes.
It is pricey to get those. And to the point with the Apple TV Plus, I believe I saw something that there was this mega deal going on with Apple TV Plus, or there's going to be a handful of games, MLS games, that were available outside of Apple TV Plus. Something along those lines. Of basically, here are a few games, a handful of games that are a lot more accessible to the consumer than they have been. To me, that, and maybe it was just they felt generous that day. But to me, I read that as they're having a really hard time building this fan base because it is so difficult to get the games in front of people's eyes if they don't actively seek out the games and want to see them badly enough that they spend their hard-earned money on it. Accessibility, I think, is one of the most important things in growing a sport and growing an interest. The NFL, on the other hand, they don't need that. They have the interest. It is the most popular league in the world. So if they want to put a playoff game on Peacock, I'm going to complain about it. But I'm still going to get Peacock and watch right. that game.
So they're counting on you to be the sucker. They just do whatever you've got to do. And I'm a diehard too. So for the right teams, I'll be a sucker too. Like I buy the extra innings package so I can watch the Mets. Right? I'm a sucker. Tell me where the Mets are, and I'll do it. This was not an option I had. You know, when I first moved to Nashville, right. I was just like, well, I'll just have to watch the Mets when they're on the game of the week, whatever. Or on ESPN. That's the only time I could watch. But now I have that ability, so that's a great thing. But what's the right cost for that? That's the battle that's going on right now. Raymond makes a great point. For the MLS, it's not even just on Apple TV, right? To get the MLS games, you got to go Apple Plus. So there's an additional cost to get the game. So I wonder how that's going for the league. Because the entire league, it's not just a decision that Nashville SC made.
Right.
It's a decision
it's a league
that the league
decision.
Made. Yeah.
And correct me if you both think differently, but I don't think that the MLS is at a point, at least in this market, or at least in the market that I'm surrounded by, I don't think the MLS is at a point where they can demand that money in those monthly subscriptions to go out of your way.
I can tell you
games.
That I haven't done that. I have not watched them this year. I follow. I've been to a game already. I probably go to another couple. I love following the team, but I have not paid the extra.
Yeah,
to go.
I'm with Willie. And plus, I would rather go to the game. And I mean, going to the game is a completely different experience too. And if you can go, besides having the parking problem, then I think that's
getting
fine.
Better.
It is
right?
getting better for sure.
But I will say this too: I watched a lot of the games. If the game was on a summer night, I had it on.
Throw it on.
Yeah.
Why not?
Because I'm plugged in. I'm still plugged in. I'm the old school guy.
Boomer.
So that's the advantage I have. And I watched. But they're losing me right now for MLS, just as an example. This is just the constant decision making that every sports entity has to make.
And that's the accessibility part of it. Is if it is up there for the taking, the odds are you're going to reach a whole bigger audience than if the audience has to seek out your product. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. TD Teron Davenport will join us coming up next. The Titans at the field for OTAs tomorrow. What should we keep an eye on? We'll get into that with TD coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 106.3 The Game.